It's Thursday, July 12th, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is another original edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight,
we had an epidemic of children going blind. It would be all over the news. There'd be research, there'd be studies, there'd been foundations, there'd be all these things trying to figure out why these kids went blind. The answer would not be just, let's just raise more seeing eye dogs.
Alex Jones speaks with leading vaccine researcher Sherry Tenpenny. Plus, the TSA can now surveil you right down to your molecular level. Then, George Bush pushes the globalist takeover initiative in Africa under the guise of humanitarianism. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
First off tonight, there are hundreds and hundreds of deaths taking place every month in the state of Illinois, and 275 since the year has started. And the mafia government, who's completely banned the Second Amendment, cannot blame it on unlawful ownership of guns because the criminals are ignoring the law. But what is the Chicago mafia's answer that runs Chicago? Well, try to restrict the Second Amendment around the rest of the country. Chicago police sergeant calls it tribal warfare on the streets as things continue to unravel there. All right, continuing on to the next piece of news. Courts have ruled, federal and state, that police can torture you to make you give a urine sample or answer questions. I always thought we had a Fifth Amendment. But a man who was walking across the street, they wanted his ID, failure to ID, the courts have ruled you cannot be forced to show an ID, papers please, but it didn't matter. They began tasering him repeatedly, and the police, instead of apologizing about this, said they're going to use it as a training video. A Florida man was repeatedly tased by police officers and arrested for refusing to identify himself. But instead of apologizing, the Castleberry Police Department insisted it would use footage of the incident for training purposes. And there is the footage of that taking place. All right, continuing here on to the next piece of news. You've seen all over the television George W. Bush, who says he ordered torture, and he'd do it again, including of children, hugging little African children who are crying as they realize they're being put into the arms of El Diablo. And, Bush now is really there touring Africa to support a AFRICOM invasion by NATO and U.S. forces to take over the property. As the U.N. on record, I'm not joking, look it up, lines up villagers and machine guns them, blowing their little heads off to take over the property, all in the name of stopping Kony in countries thousands of miles away, who hadn't been seen in almost 6 years. Moving along here, former FBI director Free, on the surface, has done the right thing. I'm shocked, but I guess they're so exposed on this that they've got to go ahead and do the right thing at one level. I mean, it's been reported by local news that obviously if Sandusky, convicted now, raping children at high noon inside the showers in front of everyone, that this was a larger operation and that through the charity, he was pimping the kids out. I don't know if that's true, but I would say that's par for the course for people that run society. These are predators. They enjoy preying on other humans. They're not normal, and good people are blind to this because we just don't think like they do. But Free's report on Penn State handling of Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse reveals total disregard for victims and that they knew and helped cover the whole thing up. Are they getting ready to burn a bunch of the people at the university so that they're discredited and can't report what witnesses are saying that government people were involved? Again, this is par for the course with these perverts. These people are pure scum. Let's continue here. Madden's come out and said Sandusky, a state secret, Mark Madden, again, this is a flashback, said this back in April. Did Penn State's considerable influence helped get Sandusky off the hook. Well, Mark Madden, who wrote for the local paper, has certainly been proven right. It was also published in the Times of London. So, yes, it is a state secret, and now that has now been admitted by the former FBI director. So there you go. We're right again. Hey, obviously, if he's raping kids at high noon, 24/7 inside of the facility, I mean, this is a system-wide cover-up. We knew that months ago when this all first broke, that assistant coaches were going and reporting what they'd seen. They were told, hey, just keep your mouth shut, which is an allegory of how corruption works, whether it's GMO or wars or the police state. People have a vested interest on the surface of letting the corruption continue and just don't rock the boat. Well, civilizations are built by rocking the boat and doing the right thing. They're destroyed by not rocking the boat. That way leads destruction. So I think the motto of Infowars.com should be rocking the boat since 1995, because that's what we do. God, there's armies of sicko perverts, and now they run the TSA and drag your kids off to a private rape room. I mean, this is just land of the cowards, home of the slaves. And I don't say that because I hate America. I love this country. But we have become such a joke. We've got to admit just how sick things have gotten if we have any hope of ever turning this around. Okay. Oh, don't worry. There's an obesity vaccine out now that will change your feelings and will actually attack neurons in your brain. These aren't vaccines. These are nanotech viral re-engineers that give you a lobotomy. I mean, yeah, somebody in a coma isn't hungry either. I mean, folks, you might as well weigh 400 pounds and be happy than be a zombie. Scientists are advocating altering the mental states of humans to control their consumptive tendencies. Don't talk about the GMO or additives that are adding to all of this. No, just give them a shot. Last month, the UN World Health Organization announced that because of overpopulation and overconsumption cultures, Americans have become overweight. And that is a problem. Working for WHO, researchers with BMC Public Health have published a study regarding the increasing levels of fatness worldwide and the impact such weight gain has on global resources, because it could go to Prince Charles with 25 aircraft, 100 palaces. I mean, you know, that's the problem. Not because African kids are starving. They contend that overweight people are likened to an extra billion humans on the planet. So there you go. They got a vaccine that eats your brain, and you won't be hungry anymore. You won't have any passion anymore either. They got stuff for, you know, wanting to drink. Well, here's a shot. No more brain cells. Because all these drugs mimic normal endorphins in the body. And so what they want to do is block those up. And then when you're depressed, they've got a drug that'll handle that. Don't worry. They care about you. They're good people. Here's another one. Extending your life, extending your career, a vaccine for smokers. Another report dealing with all of that. And it goes in and attacks the neurons in the brain that receive that chemical nicotine. Of course, you probably don't want to lose those brain neurons, but hey, so what? It's good for you. Okay, let's move right along now to Agenda 21 micro apartment scheme being beta tested in New York City. Now, they passed a law last year, 2011, in Germany, saying that all new homes by 2020 could not be single parent. You've got to live in these big dormitories. And now Bloomberg, who wants to control what you eat and what you do and ban your guns, says these studios and one-bedroom apartments, they're like closets, will be no bigger than 275 to 300 square feet. That's called a tiny supermax cell. These tiny living spaces are smaller than currently allowed by building regulations. And they say this is good for the earth. See, they can raise more taxes. They'll charge you more for a 200-square-foot cell than for a 1,000-foot. This is how this works. More for less. The eugenics, Agenda 21, post-industrial slave model. Because your resources have all got to go to the bankers. Continuing here with the news. New CIA scanner rolled out by TSA can surveil your molecular level. And we've documented here how they have the quack garbage lie detectors that are frauds. Well, now the cops are going to aim some laser beam at you and claim that it shows you're aggressive or a terrorist or bad. This is their new system. And Kurt Nimmo reports on this new quack science at InfoWars.com. Moving along, Pluto's moons, 5 satellites of Pluto. And they've been reporting that Pluto's moons have also been heating up because we didn't pay our carbon tax to Al Gore. On July 11th, astronomers announced the 5th moon had been discovered orbiting the dwarf planet. Researchers using NASA's Hubble Space Telescope found the moon. Some of its other moons are named Charon and things like that, the boatman of the River Styx, because after all, Pluto is the Roman god of the underworld. So if we're naming these with demonic names, name the next one Obama or Mitt Romney. Or maybe name them planet Rockefeller. In fact, you should talk to the different societies that are deciding this. And we've got Hydra and Charon and Nix. I guess it means kill and P4. Why not name it Rockefellia? I mean, that's a good name for it. I mean, which means robber baron, gang raping, the dead corpse of humanity. Rockefellia. Rockefellia. Bankers injecting children with cancer viruses. Rockefellia. I'm coining terms here, just teleprompter free. It's incredible. I need more Prozac. That's the problem. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we leave Charon to the Daily Quote. Bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them with the power to create credit, and they will flick a pen that will create enough money to buy it back again. If you want to be slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let the bankers control money and control credit. Sir Joseph Stamp, director of the Bank of England, 1940. Sounds like you haven't had enough vaccines, Mr. Stamp. But again, you're dead now, aren't you? So you're beyond their grasp. We will now go to break, my friends, my pretties, and we will come back with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a journey into all that is vaccine kingdom, all that is Rockefellia, Rockefellia, diseased robber baron mass murderers gone wild. I'm Alex Jones, and this is InfoWars Nightly News.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And welcome back to this Thursday edition. All week we've been covering the fallout of GlaxoSmithKline with scores of their products, knowing that it didn't treat what they were selling the drug for and got it approved for, and in many cases, like their asthma drug, was killing people. Oh, but they just pay a $1 billion fine off of tens of billions they made off one of the drugs that year. Then you've got Merck, their own virologist, coming out and bringing into court in the lawsuit the fact that the MMR shot was actually making people sick and that they knew it was giving it to them. And like Bill and Melinda Gates and the UN giving people the weaponized version of the very diseases that they're giving them these vaccines for. Of course, I'm talking about the latest cases with polio. I mean, reality is so crazy, it just blows the mind. Because now it's every day or two we're learning that there's Vioxx-level scandals where they know, where Bayer knew for 11 years worldwide they were shipping out hepatitis and HIV-filled factor VIII blood clotting agent. It was a death sentence to people. It isn't that they don't just care. From our research, they're eugenicists. They want to kill people while they make profits. In fact, I had the maker of the greater good on a few weeks ago, and you know the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who we're about to talk to, is in it, and is a key researcher breaking it down. But even the Wall Street Journal had to say that this was a powerful film that makes you think twice. But I said, why is it balance, because the evidence says this is premeditated mass murder. She said, well, I just want it to be mainline so it's not too overwhelming, to paraphrase her. And I said, yeah, but this is about killing people. And she said, well, you know, I was a high-level person for Goldman Sachs, which she was, very high-level, highest echelons, you know, big managing international director. And she said, yeah, one of the heads of the company was a $7 million a year pharma company, was in my office. And he said, I'm going to make millions this year off this drug, and the best part is we're going to kill a bunch of people. And that's when she began to research and then saw the damage from vaccines. And so she's like, oh, yeah, I've been in those meetings. So the point is that this is the type of premeditated evil we're dealing with, and it's admitted. It's no longer our researched view or reading different documents where they call for, you know, reducing our population. So we say it looks like they're doing this. The evidence is overwhelming. Now, I've gotten Dr. Sherry Tenpenny back on the show today because there's a lot of breaking news, obviously. She's been valiantly taking the lead in fighting the Gardasil papilloma virus, so-called cervical cancer injections that 6 years ago in the trials were killing people. So Rick Perry came out and, of course, told the world that it's mandatory in Texas, which it wasn't, but people lined up and took it. By doing that, it kicked in government vaccine protection. Because if something is mandatory or semi-mandatory, recommended to the health department, which they then lie and say is mandatory, it kicks in liability protection because the government is promoting it. Just incredible. So they cold-bloodedly did that. Now they're pushing to vaccinate all the girls in Mexico, all the boys and girls in Australia, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is all over this right now. And she joins us, and you'll notice underneath her is her website. So be sure and visit it. She's also launched a new website that we're going to be talking about in a moment as well, that is a compendium, probably the biggest compendium out there, of the overall research on vaccines and what they're really doing, not the PR put out by these companies. So there's a basic breakdown and analysis. She's here to fill in the spaces. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Alex. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I just threw out a whole bunch of stuff there. What do you want to hit first?
Well, let's talk about the Gardasil vaccine in little boys, because the Gardasil vaccine in little girls is totally unnecessary. We know that they would have to vaccinate every year for I don't know how many generations of girls to achieve the same coverage in terms of decreasing the incidence of cervical cancer as what we get right now from pap smears. So the whole issue about vaccinating little boys, in my opinion, is certainly nothing more than just doubling market share.
I want to expand on that, but out of the gates here, did you see the admissions in the British press of what you said 3.5 years ago, now totally confirmed, that the H1N1 is causing neurological disorders like narcolepsy and other things? I mean, just incredible that that was a hoax as well, and the Canadian research shows that it doubles your chances of getting the regular flu. I mean, what a hoax.
Oh, absolutely. And the one article that came out that said that the H1N1 vaccine didn't cause birth defects, but it did cause 83 confirmed cases of Guillain-Barré. So I looked up what the cost of one case of Guillain-Barré is in this country. And depending on how you break down the numbers, the actual medical costs, they estimate to be about $319,000 for one case of Guillain-Barré. And if you actually talk about the early deaths and the missed lost time from work and all of those things because of the people that die from Guillain-Barré, in the article from the Journal of Neurology that interviewed 180 people who had Guillain-Barré, it turned out to be $1.7 billion in both lost revenues and in healthcare dollars for 180 cases of Guillain-Barré.
But most of it, as you know, goes unreported. What are those real numbers?
The real numbers of?
Of Guillain-Barré, because I know two different media people in Austin that apologized to me. One of them was Dale Dudley, one of the local morning hosts for decades, one of the top shows in Austin. He went and got the flu shot, and it made his hands and feet go numb. He went to the doctor, and they said, mild Guillain-Barré from your shot. I mean, it's not even debated. And then I know another media person that doesn't want their name mentioned. They got an even worse case. So, I mean, most of the people I know that end up having this effect right after having the shot, it never gets put down in any record.
That's correct. It doesn't get put into any database. So the actual incidence of it is probably much higher than what we might think, because there are other types of things like CIDP, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, which is a big mouthful. That is like an extended form of a more severe, long-lasting Guillain-Barré. There are all these mild polyneuropathies and all these peripheral neuropathies and things that they just diagnose with a name called polyneuropathy, but they don't call it Guillain-Barré. So the actual number of cases of Guillain-Barré and other types of side effects and complications from the flu shot is probably in the tens of thousands every year, but it never gets reported. If a full-blown case of Guillain-Barré costs the healthcare system about $319,000 per case, we're talking tens of millions of dollars of healthcare dollars as a side effect of the flu shot or the H1N1 shot. And when they talk about the reason to give the flu shot is to save missed days from work, to keep people from missing work because it's a cost-saving device, they never include all the expenses that go along with treating the side effects as part of the cost of the vaccine program. And that's not only for flu shots, Alex. I would say that's across the board with all of the vaccines.
And again, if you just joined us, folks, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is a medical doctor and the leading critic, I think everybody agrees, and researcher exposing the dangers of vaccines. What's the bottom line here, just finishing up with the H1N1, because I'm no medical doctor, but prior to the H1N1 rollout hype, fear that was premeditated clearly of 3.5-4 years ago, every insert I saw, every newscast, every doctor I talked to said, don't give a pregnant woman vaccines. Clearly they knew about the increase in miscarriages and problems. Suddenly now it's like, oh no, that never existed. Pregnant women, they need the shot. So this new propaganda is like, oh yeah, an increase in Guillain-Barré. But they said, you know, even British journals at the time said they were seeing tenfold increases in seizures in children that took it. So this is obviously a whitewash when they're like, oh, slight chance, but no effect on women. So how do they go from medical orthodoxy, Hippocratic oath, don't give pregnant women vaccines because it can cause an autoimmune response, to, oh my gosh, women need extra shots?
You know, Alex, I was at a vaccine conference. It was the first international meeting. It was the first international neonatal vaccination conference in Washington, D.C. in March of 2004. And one of the presenters at that point in time, that was when they started talking about giving pregnant women flu shots. That was in 2004. And the person on the stage, I remember distinctly him saying, we'll never get away with this. We'll never be able to give flu shots to pregnant women because we tell pregnant women not even to take an aspirin. How are we ever going to get away with injecting them unless we can include not only the pregnant woman but their fetus in the vaccine injury compensation program? And there was a lot of debate that went on about how they could possibly do that. Well, I think that how they've achieved it is by just using pregnant women as an experimentation and start and just sort of capturing the data after the fact and, again, morphing the numbers so that it seems like there's nothing going on. But there's no possible way that they can know at the point in time of a birth whether or not something is going to show up 3 months, 6 months, or a year later that could have been caused in that fetus as it was rapidly developing when the mother was injected with the flu shot. There's another whole area of that, Alex, is the fact that, and I'm in the middle of putting a presentation together about it right now, and the presentation's called Pregnant Moms and Shots, because not only are they talking about the flu shot and the H1N1 shot, they're talking about a pertussis shot either right after birth or maybe in the third trimester. They've now increased the Rogam shot to give it at least twice during pregnancy. Oh. And in some cases, they even had a one paper saying that maybe we should give moms a Gardasil shot while they're pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's on record killing people and causing autoimmune problems. I mean, let's talk about the history of Gardasil, since that's where we started. And now they're going to tell women that, you know, who even needs nutrition? Just have hundreds of shots a day. I mean, I know the UN's been connected to focusing shots on pregnant women, and then they have the miscarriages. The UN got caught in the tetanus shot, adding a hormone that's secreted in the second trimester, causing basically abortions. I mean, this is all on record, but we're supposed to just trust them now, and because they say it didn't cause problems with women, even though I noticed that we're seeing statistics of increased miscarriages, increased neonatal problems. I know that for a while the West numbers were getting better. More children were living, infant mortality. Now those numbers are getting worse, but they say everything's fine.
Well, you know, there's a mantra, and it's one of the ways that the vaccine industry has gotten away with everything that they've done for as long as they have, because they have one message. Vaccinate everybody with every shot. Vaccines are safe. They protect you. They're harmless, and they cause no problems. So they march to a consistent drummer, and it's one of the problems, I think, inside of our industry of people, of trying to get activists and people rallied around a point to fight back, is that there's a lot of different opinions in our industry. You know, maybe vaccines are okay if the mercury's out, so we've got the anti-mercury people, and maybe it's okay if we wait till they're 2 years of age, and maybe some vaccines are okay but not others. I can't tell you how many times I get the question. So Dr. Tenpenny, if you had to pick just a couple, which ones would you pick? And I always say that injecting foreign matter into little human beings under the auspices of somehow trying to keep them healthy is just an oxymoron. There's just no possible way any of that can be any good. And so if we could get everybody rallied around the point that these things are dangerous, they are injecting foreign matter into human beings to transform their DNA and to change their immune systems and make their customers for life. If people could just give up this whole concept that vaccines protect us and that they're necessary and, oh my gosh, we have got to have them, then I think our entire world, and particularly here in America, would start to change.
Again, tell people about both of your websites, the new one you've launched, and also some of the books and videos that are available there, because it's one thing to sit here and watch us talk about this tonight at PrisonPlanet.tv and later on YouTube and also in cable systems around the country and in England where they re-air it. People need to also have the original source data, and I know you've put together a new website. Tell folks about that.
Well, the new website got launched in March. We're still, it's still a project in evolution. In fact, it's a project that will never be done. And the website is called vaccinereserchlibrary.com. It's a prescription, it's a subscription website, and we did that because we don't want people going in and trashing the website, for one thing. You know how it can be with hackers and viruses and things like that. It's not very expensive. It's $45 for 3 months. And there are more than 4,500 articles already compiled in that library, not only on each of the vaccines, on each of the additives, on the chemicals, on the cell lines, on the detergents, all the different things. And all of the references, Alex, all of the references in the vaccine research library are from conventional medical resources. They're from documented medical records. They're from Nature. They're from Science. They're from the CDC. There is nothing in there from the popular press. And that's what makes makes it so powerful is to have such a large body of science accumulated into one place called vaccineresearchlibrary.com in order to go and do your research. You can sign up for free for 2 weeks to just go in and you get access to pertussis, aluminum, and MMR to see all of the documents that are there. Every Tuesday we post what's called the Scream of the Week, which is just the most egregious sort of thing we found that week, because the library is being added to by anywhere from 10 to 20 research articles every single week. And so,
you know, that's what's incredible is that so much that we know about vaccines being the biggest hoax in history is from their own studies and mainline stuff. I mean, it's not like, I mean, you know, they do a vaccine test on 50 homeless people, 38 of them die. Hey, let's give this to everybody. Hey, they test Gardasil on people, it kills a bunch of them. Rick Perry says it's the law. I mean, you get the insert to the Gardasil, and it says there's 300 plus viruses known to cause the cancer. We don't even know this will help you, but it might kill you. But it's so ridiculous how bad they are. And people ask me on the street all the time, Alex Jones, should I vaccinate my children? And I look at them, I go, I got 3 children. They're healthier than other people's children, knock on wood. I've never given them a vaccine. Or they say, Alex, the school, my son's a kindergartner, they're saying they're going to kick him out. And I go, type in Texas vaccine waiver forms. And it pops up, or Rhode Island. And people go, wow, they lied to me and said it's the law, I'll be arrested. Again, premeditated criminals organized on the news and at the school lying to you, in the case of Maryland, calling police out to arrest people for something that doesn't exist. I mean, and the waiver isn't even to a law. It's to a health department regulation. I mean, again, you're dealing, even if vaccines were as good as mother's milk, which they're not, it's the lying of the whole system, and it's just so frustrating.
You know, Alex, I know that this was just something that came up in Austin last week that I thought was really great, where the kids refused to get vaccinated and they were not going to go to school. But one of the things I think that we need to start really rallying people around the concept is that from the time their kids were little, they fought the good fight to keep them unvaccinated, send them to school. Some parents chose homeschooling so they didn't have to fight the system. And now I saw that we're getting to the place where these kids are going to start going to college. And I'm getting about 5 to 7 emails every couple of weeks now from parents saying, what am I going to do? My kids have never been vaccinated. They've never been sick. They've never been so much as on an antibiotic. But these colleges and universities are forcing them to be vaccinated, or they won't accept them into their school. I think there's a rallying point there that we can get these people to understand, you know, excuse me, you're going to force me to medicate my child that could make them sick for life, could even kill them, in exchange for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year for me to put their butt in your chair to get an education. We've got to be, you know, who made that policy? Who's making those
decisions? And by the way, we got the leaked documents. It later became a big news story since you're mentioning it. They've had between 10 and 15% enrollment decreases at the Austin Community College, one of the biggest systems in the country, and other educators around the country say the same thing's happening. People are just saying, you know what? It's an education bubble. The country's falling apart. You could take your vaccines and shove it. But even in that case, they've got the waiver. It's another hoax.
Yeah, but the exemption laws, the way that they were written, most of them were written in the early 1900s, and they only covered K through 12, and at that point in time there was only one vaccine, and it was the smallpox vaccine. So now we've got 26 different vaccines, multiple doses of that. We've got kids that are now going into college. We've got college age and adult vaccines. We've got vaccines everywhere, more of them. There's 22 in the pipeline specific for adolescents. But taking on this whole issue of going head on with the colleges and the universities and smoking out those people who made those policies that these kids need to get vaccinated in order to go to school, in order to go to law school, they have to have an MMR, in order to go into medical school, they have to be fully vaccinated and prove it by titers. We've got a policy issue here that needs to be smoked out, exposed, and expose the people who are making those decisions.
Explain what titers is.
Titers is when you have been injected by a vaccine and you've been injected by a vaccine, and it creates an antibody. The titer is being able to get a blood shot to measure the amount of that antibody in your bloodstream.
And again, this is total medical tyranny. To go to the school, they want your blood now, and that goes back to 40 years in the Western world of secretly taking baby blood at birth and saying, or saying it's for a blood test and putting it with health departments under the Cold Springs Harbor Eugenics Program. And now when people go in to get genetic therapy, they're told, oh, a corporation bought your blood sample and owns your DNA now. I mean, this medical tyranny is so off the charts.
It really is. And that the blood titer, the titer that happens is if you have an antibody titer, let's say you've had a chickenpox vaccine, and they're requiring a chickenpox titer, or what they call proof of immunity, which means that you've been injected, your body creates an antibody, you can measure that antibody in the bloodstream. They accept that as, quote, proof of immunity, even though all it really means is that your blood has been exposed and it's created an antibody. There is no proof that that's going to protect you from anything.
Well, what about this argument that I hear Dr. Dina Dell and others on radio saying, whoever doesn't vaccinate themselves should be arrested because we're going to make all of them sick. But I thought if they've had all the wonderful vaccines, which more and more they admit, most of the cases of whooping cough, California, caused by the vaccine, Merck's MMR causing it. I mean, this is coming out in the news. This is not our opinion. And then They still just say, you need to be arrested. And we're like, but you took the magic stuff. I mean, you took the monkey vomit.
Yes, and that has always been my argument of all the parents and all of the schools and all these places of saying, oh, we don't want to be around your dirty little unvaccinated children because they might make us sick. Well, excuse me, if vaccines are supposed to work and that's why you get them in the first place, then we should be concerned about being around your vaccinated kids. So it's a one of those really twisted, convoluted ways that they're trying to one more time get us to be subjected to their rules.
Now, I've been asking the questions here so far, and I've got a lot of other questions I want to go over with you today, Dr. Tenpenny. But getting back to, because before the interview today, we asked you what's front and center on your radar, and you were pointing out the Gardasil. Get into Gardasil, the deaths, the expansion, Mexico, Australia, all these places. What's rolling out here? Because even though it's admitted it's a hoax, doesn't protect you, kills people, autoimmune problems, India banning it, they just roll forward. And the zombie lemmings are like, give me the shot. I want to die. I mean, it's wonderful.
Well, I'm not sure that it's give me the shot, I want to die, but my biggest concern about the Gardasil is the large amounts of aluminum in it and the massive amount of information that continues to come out about the aluminum in breaking down the neurology of your brain and of your peripheral nerves and causing all sorts of neurological problems, and the large amount of polysorbate 80 in it, which has been shown to cause ovarian and uterine atrophy in female mice. And there's been some suggestions that the polysorbate 80 also causes testicular atrophy in male mice. So I personally think that the polysorbate 80 is going to be a really big deal in issues of fertility as these kids get older. And, you know, it wasn't good enough to just inject the girls. Now we have to inject the boys. And I hope that parents will just say enough is enough. And I don't understand why parents still have this undying belief and faith in this human standing in front of them with the title of a pediatrician. I don't care how nice they are. And they may be the nicest person in the world and you want to give them Christmas cookies, but they are contributing to the demise of the human race by continuing to inject this crap into human beings.
Now, of course, I was being sarcastic when I said the public's like, oh, please kill me, I want to die. But I mean, that's really what's happening here with all of this, and the hoax just gets worse and worse. Do we have any idea what the Gardasil vaccine, what this virus is doing? Do we have any idea, doctor, why it's causing weird autoimmune problems, people becoming paralyzed, people dying all over the world? Because now, you know, with trials and everything, how long is Gardasil being been administered? Isn't it since like 96, 2006, they were doing the trials?
I think that's about right. I would say like 2005, 2006. And they really didn't, they only, the number of girls that they actually trialed it on in the 9 to 12 year old population was only like 1,200 girls. It was really small. We've got, certainly got a much larger population now. And again, you know, there are 80 different viruses, human papillomaviruses. There are about 12 to 15 that are known to be carcinogenic. And the vaccine only covers two of them that are about the cervical cancer. And then the other two have to do with venereal warts. And there are innumerable cases of girls that after they've gotten the injection that they have this severe outbreak of venereal warts that's just unbelievable. You know, Alex, in my experience as an integrative medical doctor here in Cleveland, Ohio, we have a fairly large practice of people that have come from all over the country and all over the world to get well and get off their medications. It's our experience that abnormal pap smears and even pap smears that have the presence of an HPV virus that is actually there, it's a nutritional deficiency disease. And it's an exposed organ. The cervix is an exposed organ externally. And if you're nutritionally deficient, that organ, those cells start to break down. And as they start to break down, that gives safe harbor to those viruses to show up. So I'm not convinced that the virus causes the cervical cancer. I think that the cervix is unhealthy, it's nutritionally deficient, and the viruses are there in association with an abnormal organ.
Sure, and again, I'm going from memory when I said, you know, hundreds of them, but I think some of the numbers are, there's over 300 of these that they claim, you know, are papillomaviruses, and as you said, only a few of them that can actually give somebody cancer. But other medical doctors I've had on pointed out the statistics that you were just looking at, that it's things like very low rent, drug-addled prostitutes that have almost no nutrition that right. are showing up with this cancer. And I mean, I was reading, it's only a few thousand a year that even die from cervical cancer, and that sounds like a lot, but as for cancers, some cancers are killing, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 a year. And so statistically, why would they have this big rollout with three shots that cost, what, upwards of $900 for something that's pretty much non-existent, and as you said, is connected to people who have malnutrition?
Right. And if girls had continued to get their annual pap smears, that even the ones that are dying of cancer, of cervical cancer at an earlier age, there's a lot of statistics that show that if they would have just done good basic public health things that we've had for decades in terms of getting pap smears, which is the other thing that's a real problem, is because one of the concerns is that the girls that get the Gardasil series, they now believe they are protected from all types of cervical cancer, so they don't have to go through that uncomfortable, somewhat embarrassing exam called a pap smear. And that in the long run, that there may turn out to be more cases of cervical cancer because that part of health care is going to not be followed through upon.
But again, there's this otherworldly, bizarro land nature to this where doesn't protect you from it, is very dangerous, on record kills people. And so let's have the whole world take it, and it's for cervical cancer, but then they say little boys need it, and then don't even really have any data on what the danger is. What is the bizarro rationale, you know, for boys, that they don't get genital warts? I mean, I've never heard of those killing a man.
Well, that is part of the bizarro rationale, is that it's not so much about the genital warts, it's about these dirty little boys that they put their dirty little genitals inside of these very virgin little girls, and they deposit these awful viruses there, and that's where the transmission comes from. There have also been cases where they talk about the HPV and causing oral cancer from the human papillomavirus in gay men that practice oral sex. And so they are also looking at cutting down the viral load in that area. But Alex, we've seen this in other vaccines. We've seen it in Prevnar with the strep. We saw it with the Hib vaccine, with the Haemophilus influenza B. We've seen it in the influenza viruses, that as we take a vaccine, and we separate out a population, like we go and we kill a bunch of the viruses or bacteria, the stronger, more virulent ones come to the forefront because nature abhors a vacuum. And it's, and there was a symbiotic relationship of the viruses and bacteria out there in nature over the last 100 years, and still we started mucking with it with vaccines. So if we start separating out the HPV virus 16 and 18, and we start maybe eliminating that, there's going to be other ones that are going to come into the gap, and so then we're going to have to add more. You know, with Prevnar, we did Prevnar 7, and Prevnar is the vaccine that is for strep pneumonia, and they use it ostensibly to cut down the risk of ear infections and strep sepsis in babies. Well, those seven bacteria are now not so much in circulation, so now there are two or three more. So now we got Prevnar 13. What are we going to have, a Prevnar 100 one of these days? Because once we feel like we have can eliminate some virus or bacteria, we need to make a vaccine to eliminate all of them.
Well, let's look at the bottom line. The life expectancy has dropped now in the U.S. in the first time in a long time. People really, I've looked at statistics, and correct me if I'm wrong, lived a lot longer even 100 years ago if you took out infant mortality. You go to any graveyard, we've got family graveyards in East Texas, half the people in there are under age 5. You know, in the old days, a lot of kids died. But if you made it past, you know, age 5, 6, 7, people were living, the actuaries I've seen are about 86 for men, 91 for women. I mean, I had a great-grandmother who lived to 103. My point is, it was my dad's grandmother, so yeah, it's my great-grandmother. Mom, Ma Jones, as they called her. She was a big part Native American. But the point is, I used to go visit her at the nursing home. Side issue, I'm digressing now, remembering Ma Jones. But looking at this, we see cancers exploding. The U.S. leading the world in breast cancer. Neurological disorders exploding. Problems with the gut exploding, skeletal problems exploding. I mean, something is really messing us up. And then you take my uncle. He doesn't need to be told vaccines are bad. They gave him a tetanus shot when he got cut in the farmyard back when he was a little kid and almost killed him. I mean, so many people I know get a shot and their two-year-old, you know, has a seizure at the doctor's office. I mean, it's not like people don't realize something's happening here. So in this collision course, that's what I want your response to. We know something's wrong, but certainly you see the literature. You put together big sites, compendiums of it. It's now, we see scandals on a weekly basis that in the past we'd see once a year, where every big pharma company is premeditatedly putting drugs, not just vaccines, on the market that don't even help you. It's not like the greater good argument of, well, it helps 10 but kills 1. That road to hell. Now it's just, this is total crud. We don't care. We own the regulators. It's going to get approved, and we're going to kill a bunch of people and pay a fine of maybe 5% of our profit. I mean, it's now reached a level of where it's runaway craziness. Is that an accurate statement?
That is an accurate statement. And I think, and I used to say, you know, it starts at birth, you know, when babies are born and you start with the hepatitis B at birth and then at 2, 4, and 6 months. And if you say 2 months, Alex, that baby's 60 days old. You know, 2, 4, and 6 months that we are injecting them with multiple vaccines, with multiple doses of chemicals, carcinogenic chemicals, aluminum, all kinds of toxic things. But now, like we said earlier, you back that up. Now we're injecting pregnant women. So now we're starting the assault on humanity and the assault on babies before they're even in the world. And that study that was done a few years ago by the Environmental Working Group that shows all of the, then they tested cord blood and they found 200 and some types of chemicals that these babies are being swathed in from the cord blood from out in the environment. So we've got vaccines and chemicals and artificial sweeteners and fluoride and pesticides and chemtrails. And I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, about the assault on humanity. You know, it's almost like there's this, this thought that somebody's coming up with this thought that, that humans are kind of fleas on this planet and we just need to like get rid of them because, and we need to do it very slowly and take all of their money and make them miserable along the way. We can't just overtly kill them. We need to do it in a very insidious way that somehow we're telling that that this stuff is good for you. Fluoride's good for your teeth. Vaccines, it keeps you healthy. You know, and then the deceptiveness on the other side of it. I think you're absolutely right.
Doc, when you talk about it's as if they see us as fleas, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Ted Turner, David Rockefeller, Bill and Melinda Gates, you pick a globalist, John P. Holder and White House science czar, Dr. Eric Pianca here at UT a few miles from me. You pick a world leader or one of these, quote, philanthropists, and all they talk about is how we're scum and how they want to kill us and how they want to reduce our population. And then you realize that's it. Use us as biological androids to do these tasks, suck our energy out of us through the corrupt medical system, and then kill us. And slowly turn up the ambient background of all these toxins and chemicals and additives, and then just normalize the fact that, you know, half the folks on your block have cancer when 50 years ago, maybe one person in the whole neighborhood would. I mean, it's just amazing. And I was talking to a globalist once, off record, and, you know, he said, look, humanity will muddle through anything. And they say that they're using our own adaptability, that we'll pretty much put up with anything, to do this to us, and it is just an incredible sin against humanity.
Yeah, and I know that you know that Mike Adams is hosts your show sometimes, and you have a great relationship with Mike, and I do also. I post some articles on his site, and think his new site that he's doing, Divinity Now, that video that he has on there that talks about the transhumanism, and maybe there are some soulless people on the planet who are really looking at us as nothing more than repositories of genetically modified food and repositories of vaccines and drugs, and nothing more in terms of exchange for commerce. I think that he hit it out of the park with that video. I really do.
You know what? We'll air that at the end of this piece. I missed that, but Mike's a good friend. He moved here to outside Austin. But what is the name of the video? And we'll play it here at the end.
It's Divinity Now is the name of his new website, and it's the video that's right on the front. It's quite long, but it's really good. And you may want to look at it at some point and pick apart some of the pieces of it, because I think he really, really did a good job.
Oh, he's an amazingly talented person. He's going to be sitting in on the radio show Monday.
Yeah.
Expanding on that, have you seen our video? Breaking down basically the New World Order versus humanity?
I have not, but I'd love to see that.
We need to send that to you. The problem is I got so much going on in my mind. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's the featured video on our YouTube channel. Will you guys put that up for me real quick? Basically, humanity's greatest secret, humanity's hidden destiny. The reason I can't remember the exact name is we had a couple different names on articles that were written about it that were similar names along that line. But basically, it's about our prime directive. Is it to be predators against each other or to truly build something? And it just gets into the nature of these people. You know, I think we should talk about cell lines, because it's not just the adjuvant, you know, causing metals that are in it like aluminum or mercury or whatever. Talking to yourself and Dr. Blaylock and countless others, I don't think people realize what's in these vaccines. Tell people some of the things that are in the standard vaccines. I mean, it's viruses, microplasms. I mean, go over some of that for people.
There's 63 different chemicals that are in the vaccine. 63 different chemicals. Now that means that one vaccine doesn't have all 63 of them, but between all of the vaccines that are out there, you're getting doses of 63 different chemicals. They use retinal cells from aborted fetal tissue called Percy 6 cells. They're now going to be using caterpillar egg cells and something called a baclofen in order to grow these viruses. And they take these viruses and they grow and they rapidly divide. These are a lot of the cell lines they're now going to be using for flu shots, because flu shots have always, for all these years, been grown inside of eggs, which is very time-intensive, labor-intensive, and very costly. And you can only do one flu shot manufacture per season. With the cell lines, you can do it. You can get the viruses to grow, and you can harvest the crop about every 6 weeks. And that's where the image comes, Alex, that I think that most people have always thought that what's in a vial, what's coming through that syringe in a vaccine, and it doesn't matter which vaccine we talk about, that people are under the assumption that all that's in there is some sterile water and a little bit of virus and or a little piece of bacterial particle, and that's it. Everything else is just sterile water. I know I myself thought that for decades before I started investigating vaccines back in September of 2000 and now put, you know, 17,000 hours of my own time into this, that was all that was in there. So what was the big deal? But there's chemicals, there's animal DNA, there's human DNA, there's mercury, there's aluminum, there's carcinogenic chemicals that are in it, there's detergents. They're filthy. They're filthy. And we're injecting them into little babies.
Well, I mean, remember Bioport, where it came out, where they were making the anthrax shots, was just absolutely, totally filthy, full of hundreds of different horrible things. And there's the admissions of so many of the famous vaccines filled with cancer viruses, SV40, untold deaths. The government admits this, you know, just like they admitted they shot black men up with syphilis or nerve gassed our own troops. It's like, well, they nerve gas troops and microwave foster kids and shoot up black men, but we should take the vaccines they're telling us to take because these are good people. Sure, they all write books about how they want to kill us and how they're transhumanists and how we're trash, but you know what? We should just do whatever they say because they're nice people. I mean, come on, don't be a conspiracy theorist. And here's another big hoax that I see no one covering. I know you've talked some about it. We've tried to go over it, but it's so big, no one seems to be able to really even grasp it. And they call them vaccines, but from my research, I would call it re-engineering, biological lobotomies, biological rewrites. I call them lobotomies because they almost always destroy or block neurological activities. But they're coming out with vaccines you don't want to eat, vaccines you can't use opiates or drink alcohol, or vaccines where you don't want to smoke, or vaccines for stress. You're never going to be upset again. Well, yeah, because you're not going to have, I mean, some of them eat ganglia in the brain. Oh, that little virus goes and eats my brain. That sounds really good. Or others go and create a protein and block things. And they call it a vaccine now, but really it's just nanotech, because that's all these new designer viruses are. They debate whether a virus, as you know, as a doctor, is alive or dead, but for the audience who may not know, well, technically it's not really alive, but it does replicate. This is nature's nanotech. And so we're on this incredible journey now where we're being bombarded, and Bill Gates says, I don't care if you don't take the shots now. We're just going to spray it. Vaccines are going to bite you and give it to you when they pump their saliva into you to liquefy the blood to a thinner product. I mean, all of this, it's like this total science fiction assault. And it's so much crazier than even I can describe. And the people administering it are pretty much mindless minions. It's a tiny technocratic group doing it. What do you call these new, quote, vaccines? Because I think we have to assault it from the fact these aren't even vaccines. This is nanotech reengineering? I mean, what do you call it?
Oh, I've never really thought about it from that perspective, Alex, but I have to agree with you, because not only are we talking about vaccines that may be spread by mosquitoes, and so how does that work? If you get like lots of mosquito bites, do you get lots of doses of the hepatitis B vaccine? Which is one, not, they're talking about doing that with trying to do something novel with malaria. They've talked about it with the hepatitis B vaccine. There's these things called edible vaccines where they incorporate the vaccine into potatoes and different things like that. I've not really thought about it that way, but you know, you're right, because this whole process called transcession, which is the incorporation of a strand of DNA from something outside of you into your personal DNA, this incorporation called transcession, which then causes the human DNA and the human genome to start to change.
And that's directly linked to cancer. I mean,
well, yes, and lots of other things too, because now we're getting this multi-generational transformation of a pure human body into something called, that's a transhumanism thing. And it's no longer human DNA. It's human DNA coupled with a little piece of DNA from dogs or chickens or monkeys or whatever that's being incorporated into our DNA. That's very frightening when you really think about it.
Doc, speaking of that, I had Hayden Perry, the CEO of Oxitec, on today. Is that the name of it? Okay, I'm going to start over again. Hayden Perry, Oxitec. Here we go. I was asking him while you were talking the name of a guy I had on today, and then their mic wasn't on, and then it went on and on. Then you stopped talking, so I had to do it then. Okay, let's mark it here. Were you ready to go? Okay, Hayden Perry. Well, Doctor, speaking of that, today I had the CEO of Oxitec on the radio show, Hayden Perry, and they're coming out with one of many mosquitoes that has a protein in it to where they don't ever develop and they die. So it's like the death gene. And he admitted these mosquitoes will bite people, but he said the gene won't get into their saliva. When they pump saliva into you to liquefy things, they can suck it up. You know, I mean, that's the process. A lot of their saliva goes in. That's why it itches so bad, folks. You're being digested right there at the spot. And he's like, well, I don't think there'll be a problem. And GMO's been wonderful. There hasn't been any problems. And I was like, come on, man. This mosquito to supposedly get rid of dengue fever, because you've had, you know, 60 cases in Florida or whatever, you're acting like it's the end of the world. These mosquitoes are now here from Africa. And you're now going to do this, and we're going to get this mosquito DNA in us. How do we know it's not going to mutate? I mean, this stuff always mutates, and the track record of Big Pharma. And his whole answer was just be charming and say, I think everything's going to be fine. I mean, what are these people thinking? Because there's tens of thousands of these companies. Your take on that?
You're right. I mean, it's, you can't be continually be mucking around with Mother Nature, you know? Once two different viruses get together and they create something new. I mean, you know, it's always like, if it works out to their advantage, they use it. And if it doesn't work out to their advantage, well, then we forget about it, you know? I mean, every year we have to get a new flu shot because ostensibly there's a new virus out there because they morph and change their surface antigens all the time. But if we do this with the mosquito, well, that's not going to morph and change. We won't have to worry about that.
If we're sitting here and they're saying, take a vaccine so you're not upset anymore, and it goes in and creates plaques or eats neurons in areas that are associated with being agitated. Well, you've got that there in case somebody messes with your wife or your son or your daughter. I mean, I'm going to get angry and ready to stomp somebody in the ground. I mean, I need to be able to get agitated. I mean, that's what motivates me. Or they talk about, and the same area that's hate is also love. And so they admit it's going to affect that. And they're calmly talking about us being these emotionalist drones or the vaccines that cure you, quote, of wanting to take drugs. Well, the drugs are mimicking natural endorphins that you get when you get the date with the girl you're in love with, or when you get the big business deal, or when you climb to the top of the mountain, or when you go out and see that gorgeous sunset, or when you have a really fun, you know, dancing or whatever. I mean, this, they're talking about making us biological automatons, and they're just calmly like, hey, you're depressed? Come get this shot. And then the fine print, it isn't getting rid of dengue fever. It isn't getting rid of hepatitis. It isn't getting rid of strep. It's going in and changing who you are. I mean, it's amazing what they're, to me, that's not a vaccine.
No, Alex, but it's not just vaccines. I mean, all the antidepressant drugs, I mean, they're, you know, just 20 years ago, there were like two of them, and now there's like 40 or 50, and we've got this multiple different chemicals that are going in and messing around with the brain. And, you know, the CCHR, you know, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, which, you know, people have pros and cons about them because of their belief system, but the materials that they put out are phenomenal. And I went to their fundraiser several years ago, and when I sat and listened to everything that they talked about what you just said, manipulation of the brain, manipulation of thought, stopping, you know, it's a normal human experience to feel sad when someone dies. And it's a normal human experience to feel exuberant if you won the lotto. Well, we want to have everybody be just even keeled and happy. And when I went to their seminar and listened to, or their fundraiser in the evening, it was like a 4-hour event. Everywhere that they said the word antidepressant or antipsychotic, you could have taken that word out and inserted the word vaccine and it had been the exact same thing. Who's making these decisions are trying to stop our brains and our minds. And it's our mind that creates things, that puts us in connection with our creator, that gets us, gets everything about energetically about us and the planet going. And it's like, if we can stop the mind, if we can damage it beyond repair, and we've got a bunch of automatons running around, then now we have complete control over these human beings because they no longer have a mind. You know, somebody said to me a couple of years ago that's in the autism community, she started writing a lot of papers, and one of the things she said was, if we had an epidemic of children going blind, it would be all over the news. There'd be research, there'd be studies, there'd been foundations, there'd be all these things trying to figure out why these kids went blind. The answer would not be just, let's just raise more seeing eye dogs. But that's what we've done with the autism community. We've got an epidemic of children permanently losing their brains, and people go, Oh, well, it's not the vaccines. We don't know what causes it, but when these kids turn around 18 months of age, they just lose their mind permanently. I guess we need more OTPT, children's services, more services in the schools, more occupational things, more services to help these kids. No, we need to stop killing their brains.
Doc, stunningly, eloquent what you just said there. I am basically speechless. I mean, you just eloquently stated what I try to bumble around with. If you've got breast cancer up over 2,000% in the last 30 years and exploding, why is everybody race for the cure? Why don't we race for the cause?
I mean, if suddenly... Stop causing it in the first place.
Pardon me?
Stop causing it. You know, there was a story a long time ago when I was still in an emergency room position, and I'll make it really short, that this ER doc was standing on the bank of a river, and he saw this body floating down the river, and he charged into the river, and he pulled it out and did CPR and did all the stuff, saved the body's life. Walking around feeling pretty good about himself, looked out, there's another body coming down the river. Ran into the river, pulled it out, did CPR, saved the body's life. First thing you know, he looked up, there were thousands of bodies coming down the river. And the moral of the story is, it's like, who's throwing the bodies in the river? We can do all the heroics in the world, cancer treatments, life-saving this, robotic surgeries, new whatever, organ transplants, blah, 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 blah. We have got to stop throwing the bodies in the river, and it starts with stopping the vaccines, just stopping it. Because if those kids are healthy and they don't even need an antibiotic, they're certainly not going to need an antidepressant or an antipsychotic medication either. And so we can recapture the health of humanity by stopping it where it starts. Stop injecting pregnant women. Stop injecting days-old babies with foreign bodies and foreign pathogens. Just stop it. And humanity will be a whole lot better off.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. People say, oh, you're so heroic, Alex, and your guest, Dr. Sherry Tenbaby, so heroic. Heroic? We know it's a fraud. They're killing people. It's not heroic. At an instinctive level, if innocent people are being hurt by big, bad bullies, it's survival mechanism to get upset, get focused, and try to beat them. I don't consciously do it because I'm selfish and it's about self-preservation. It's just my very genetic coding is to get upset about this, not because I'm some goody two-shoes hero, folks, but because I fundamentally am a human and I'm awake and I'm angry and quite frankly have a lot of very angry thoughts towards these people. I mean, the fact that people think it's extraordinary to be concerned about 1 in 25,000 with autism and now 1 in 68 or 58, whatever the number is, you'd be insane not to want to know why people are getting sick all around you. I'm worried about my wife, my parents, my kids. I'm worried about me. I want to stop this. I want to live a long life. I want you to live a long life. Doctor?
Yeah, and sometimes I get the same feeling of frustrations that you do, Alex. I mean, I've been doing this vaccine stump now since September of 2000, and thousands of hours, 17, 18,000 hours of my time that, you know, I could be sitting on the back porch reading a book and trying to get people to understand how dangerous this is, how unhealthy it is. And there are times when you just feel like you're standing on the beach, there's a tsunami coming, and there, you know, what are you going to do? And how many people are standing there? You know, did you ever make a difference? Have people listen? You've got as many people vaccinated, getting sick, getting cancer, getting diabetes. You just said earlier, you know, the death rate has in this country has changed for the first time in how long? You know, that we aren't living as long. And sometimes it just feels like why aren't people waking up? Are we so far past the point of people's having literal brain damage from fluoride and vaccines and drugs and all these other things that there's only going to be a few of us left, you know, that are really...
No, that's it. The television puts you in a mesmerized state. The chemicals, the additives. I mean, I remember about 6 years ago, I saw an article claiming in alternative press that they were putting silicone in chicken McNuggets, but in hundreds of other fast food products. And by hundreds, you know, all these other companies had their own brand of it. And then I went and looked it up, and it was like CNN was calmly reporting that we're putting plastic in your food. And then about 5 years ago, they had thousands of kids getting sick, hundreds dying. I think that's an underestimation. I think it was thousands dying, tens of thousands getting sick in China from melamine in the formula. But then when it came here, the FDA came out and said, well, some melamine's okay. I mean, China executed the people that let that happen. And then that's a corrupt society. Here they just said, you know what? Melamine's good for you.
Yeah, and it's, so it goes back to what we started talking about at the top of the interview here about Merck, you know, falsifying the MMR records and the rubella or the mumps fraction and putting animal antibodies so it looked like that they were responding and injecting that into kids and knowing that it's causing not only is it causing mumps infections, but if people who believe in vaccines, it's not even protecting them. Falsifying the data for the sake of commerce, potentially hurting children, and at the very least on the pro-vaccine side, not doing anything to protect them. But will those people get executed? Will those people even lose their jobs? Probably not.
Well, that's the thing, is that I've noticed these sellout minion types. Everything's a big joke to them. Everything's funny. And they'll even admit this stuff and just laugh at you. And there's coming a time when we take this country and this world back. I'm not a vindictive person, but an example in history and just justice being done, I want the death penalty for these people. I mean, you know, only France arrested some of the Bayer people that were in their country that knowingly shipped out blood product and knew it was going to kill people. I mean, that was an excruciating death for those hemophiliacs getting HIV and hepatitis. And, I mean, and it's not that I'm looking for vengeance. It's just that... And I'm not even for the death penalty because you can't trust the state to mete it out. But for elites and people that do this and think it's funny, well, you know what? We're not going to give the slow 5-6 year death of an HIV patient or a rotting liver of hepatitis that these little kids got. We're just going to hang your ass from your neck till you're dead. I'm serious. I want these people dead, doctor. I mean, bottom line, I'm not trying to shoot my mouth off to act tough. I rarely talk about this. But I think about what they've done. They think it's funny. They deserve to be brought to justice, jury of their peers, and executed. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't know, Alex. I think that's, I don't know that I'd care to comment on that other than to say that something, there needs to be some form of retribution. And I don't know. I've never been a big fan of the death penalty because I'm not, the only person that feels retributed about that is the person watching the death. The person that died, I mean, it's over for them.
But it sends a message. I'm telling you, the way these pharma people laugh and the memos where they laugh about the killing. I mean, I'm saying they're wild rabies dogs is all I'm saying. At a primitive level, they need to be punished.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, I just as soon pass on that one. Thank you.
No, I understand. But what is it like for you to know the carnage? I mean, and to just know that just get away with it forever.
It's terrible. But you know what? I put the blame in a lot of different places. I don't just put the blame at the very top of like the top of Enron or the top of pharma and stuff like that. And I personally put the blame on the physicians because I believe that they are already the mindless automatons that are doing what the friendly cute little drug rep who brings them lunch and 5-color glossies tells them to do. I can say, okay, the doctors, you know, they've got insurance issues, they work a lot of hours, they've got this, they've got that, but they stopped thinking the day they turned the tassel on their hat. And it's so you put the blame on pharma and all of these other people, which certainly they play a role. But where I point the finger is at the doctors who do they're the ones who hand out those little pieces of paper called prescriptions and create a $800 billion a year industry. If they stopped doing that and got back to treating anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry appropriately and looking at energetic patterns and treating that appropriately and addressing the underlying causes of why people are sick in the first place and not handing them a little piece of paper with a word on it called a prescription and creating an $800 billion a year or more pharmaceutical industry, those are the people I'd like to take out against behind the woodshed and beat the living tar out of them.
I agree with you. I mean, I just think about companies knowingly putting melamine in formula that they know is going to cause organ failure and deaths in children. I mean, all I'm saying is they deserve to spend their life in prison.
Well, in the next place I'm going to point the finger is at the parents. Listen, you know, when I first started this, me and a handful of others were the Lone Rangers out there talking about vaccine stuff. Now, it's everywhere. The stuff I do, I got 35,000 fans on Facebook that virals out every night. Your show talks about it. Mike Adams, Mercola. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to go out and sort of see what's out there. And so if you just mindlessly follow what your pediatrician says, because you like them, and your child ends up with no brain, well, don't come crying to me to fix it. And that may sound pretty harsh, but I've just gotten to the point where I'm very intolerant.
No. I totally agree with you. But again, they're raised in front of the TV, raised to trust the system. Everything's happy and the government loves you.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I've done a report on this years ago. We should do another report on it where we go down to the grocery store and just show, okay, this brand of formula, 49% sugar or high fructose corn syrup, 20% sugar, and they're always like 80% sugar. You know, the different, I mean, that isn't what mammal milk has in it. I mean, no wonder these kids are like zombies and totally screwed up and get diabetes.
Agreed. But there are also the people, you know, the people that I love to support, you know, on the antithesis of me being angry at the people who don't take responsibility, the people that are the antithesis of that I love to support, who are the people who do their research, who try to eat organic, who make their own baby food, who don't vaccinate their kids. They want to have a family farm and they want to do a food co-op. Those are the people I throw 100% of my support behind, and I'll do everything I can to help them. We just need to have more of them.
You know, that's a really good point. And those are the groups being demonized, being attacked. I mean, so that shows you it's premeditated. Plus, we have the documents. But it's not just like the system's mindless and just does this. When you try to not be part of it, the system sees you as bad.
And does everything it possibly can to whip you back into the corral.
Well, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, give out those websites again, and then I've asked a lot of questions here. I want to give you about 5 minutes to make any other points or cover other topics, pieces of news that you think are important.
Well, thank you, Alex. Just a little bit more, stuff where you can find me if you want to ask more questions. Facebook.com/vaccineinfo is where we have a very active Facebook page, and these are all people who are not vaccinating, have chose not to vaccinate, and are pretty much up to speed. It's a very good community of people. So those of you who are out there who don't vaccinate and kind of feel like the Lone Ranger, it's a great place to find a community of almost 35,000 people who we post very frequently, and it's a very active board. So facebook.com/vaccineinfo. My website about vaccine information is drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny, drtenpenny.com, which is undergoing a lot of revisions right now. So probably in another month or two, you're going to see a brand new site. My medical clinic here in Cleveland, Ohio, you can find the website at tenpennyimc.com. It's tenpennyimc.com. MC, which stands for Integrated Medical Center, tenpennyimc.com. Find out a lot of stuff about what we do. We're always proud to say people have come from 48 states and 12 foreign countries, probably more than that now, to get well and get off their medications through using natural means. The biggest new thing that we've added is vaccinereserchlibrary.com, vaccinereserchlibrary.com, which is a compendium of more than 4,000 articles from conventional medical literature and scientific research that looks at cell lines, aluminum, mercury, all the individual vaccines, all the problems associated with vaccines. It's the bullets that you need for your gun. It's the documented evidence from science that shows that vaccines are not safe, they don't protect you, and they do cause harm. So I hope that you'll check those things out and that you'll come and join us on Facebook. And thanks to Alex very much for having me on tonight. And as always, Alex does this great job in keeping everybody informed, and be safe for your family.
Well, thank you. And so I've got this final question, because you didn't use up your 5 minutes here, Doc, in these extended commercial-free, you know, breakdowns we do here that are so invaluable to people. You're in this fight even more than I am, because I'm covering a wide spectrum. You're on this full-time, or almost full-time, you know, besides your clinic. What is the lay of the land? Are we starting to win the battle? Are people starting to wake up more and more? Or, you know, where is it at halftime in this fight to expose how out of control Big Pharma is and the vaccines?
Wow, Alex, that's a really, really good question. That's a really good question. I'm not sure. I really think that we were winning the battle 3 or 4 years ago more than we're winning it right now. And I don't know exactly why, but it's just a feeling that I have that it's becoming harder to wake people up. I think that there was a big swell, and I thought we were really making a difference. And then pharma got reorganized, They realized we were winning. And, you know, they've got all the money. They've got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees that sit in front of the computer or do their research or something all day long. And they got billions of dollars. And those of us like you and I that do this on a shoestring, you know, donate a lot of our time to this cause. And, you know, you have a subscription site. You want people to support you through subscribing to your website. You know, my vaccineresearchlibrary.com is $45 for 3 months, or it's, and you know, it seems like it's if people can't get it for free, they struggle. And I know that there's a lot of economic struggling, but you know, we put a lot into this, and we really put a lot in for trying to really.
No, you've got to hire a lot of people. That's what people have to understand. Is I've got upwards of 40 people now. We're about to go to 50 here at Infowars.com. And folks need to vote with their dollars, just like they've done with organic food and things. We can turn this around. But yes, the empire has struck back.
Very much.
And so this goes in waves. But I think the battle is joined. People more than ever know what we're facing. It's just that so many are in a trance. It's our job to get them out of that trance. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Alex. Keep up the good fight.
God bless you. Great job. Folks, the battle is now. The battle is up to you. It is time, my friends, to take action against these globalists, to get her website out, our websites out, to spread the word, to realize they wouldn't be trying to bring in internet censorship and all the rest of this right now if we weren't having an effect. So use the remnants of the free web now while we still have it. I'm all in, putting all our reserve in to trying to expand to the next level to really warn people. We are just committed to the truth. People are waking up right now, but they wake up and feel powerless. Go out and do small things. Speak out. Send this video that we'll post on YouTube after it's on PrisonPlanet.tv to everybody you know. YouTube's kind of downgraded the share button where you can't share it easily and doesn't let us send out all our videos to our subscribers. So you just have to work harder. It's a fight. They thought they could just arrogantly give us the web and use it as a one-way conduit at us. We're using it back, so they're trying to game the system they control. We've got people power. They got drones and robots and stuff. We got 7 billion people. If all of us just push a little back, they're going down. Also, the Greater Good film, you support the filmmakers, but also us, it's available at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com, both the same URLs will get you there. There's also links at InfoWars.com. And this is a very good film breaking down Big Pharma and what they're up to. Great to give people, because a lot of folks don't read books these days. Thanks to the government training centers, most people can't read now more than a menu at McDonald's. So The Greater Good, available at InfoWarsShop.com. And I want to thank Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and the crew. We couldn't do this without the crew. They bust their butt because they're in the middle of this. They know how real all of this is. We're going to defeat these criminals. We're going to expose them. I talked to Colonel Craig Roberts today. He said police, military, everybody he talks to are just totally waking up right now. So I'd have to say we're starting to win. It's just the globalists are organized and are moving forward regardless. And by winning, the founders were able to wake up the country and win with 5%. We've got way more than that. We've just got to realize it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but only a tireless, focused minority to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow night with the Friday edition and back on the radio 12 Central. If you don't have a local AM or FM in your area, XM Channel 166, noon to 3 Eastern. And, of course, InfoWars.com, the free audio streams and podcast right there. It's up to you. We're the tip of the spear. We need your help. So wake somebody up and tell them about the broadcast or radio show today.